today? Some of us. So you're like hoping this is going to be a really quick sermon, right? Yeah? Too bad. My middle name is the Grinch. Just kidding. I'm excited to open gifts too. And I'm going to probably just get one, right? Stockings. It's been a bad year. That's okay. It's normal. First and foremost, I just want to let you know, welcome. We are so glad you're here this morning. If this is your first time here, I'm the pastor. My name is Ben, and it is my honor and privilege to be up here this morning to present the gospel. It really is. And first and foremost, to be with you. You're more than just a church. You're a family. Whether this is your first time here, whether you're coming with friends this morning, I hope you know that you are loved. Whether it's the first time we've talked or we haven't talked, we care about you. We really do. We've been praying for you, whether we knew it was you that we were praying for, that God has put you here this morning, and we get to be the family that has surrounded you, all right? And it is our privilege to have you this morning. More importantly, too, our host is our Redeemer. Our host is our Creator this morning, our Savior. We worship God. He is our audience. He is the reason, more than any kind of tradition, that we stand, we sit, we sing, we listen to the Word this morning because of what God has done for us, to us, and with us. All right? And so, I just want you to know, we are a church that's beyond traditions. We are a church that focuses on God and loving God and just wanting to follow God where He leads us. Right, church? And so this morning, we get the privilege to celebrate Christmas. We've been talking about a sermon series called Did You Hear? Maybe, if it works. Did You Hear? And 2 weeks ago, we talked about a couple that got news that changed their life significantly at an age they weren't ready for it. Elizabeth and Zachariah got news at the age, probably at grandparent age, that they were going to have a child, right? That is something that will shock you. That is something that will change your day-to-day probably activities. And also, just like Zachariah, probably was in that moment of hearing that news going, you're joking, right? To where the angel's like, I don't joke. So because you tested me, you don't get to speak. Which in my mind, I'm thinking during that whole time of 9 months of not being able to speak, it's probably good that he didn't get a chance to say anything, because during that time, who knows how much trouble he would have put himself into of saying something to his beautiful wife, Elizabeth, while she's going through pregnancy. It was probably best that he was quiet, right? I know I look back at those times and I have said things and I'm like, it would just be best just be quiet right now. Right? Yes. All right? And so you have that as a did you hear moment. And people probably around them seeing this and just knowing that God has blessed them with this baby. And understanding that too, like during their culture and their context of how they lived, like having a baby meant that you were blessed by God. And so they probably thought they were without child all these years. And the idea is that God didn't really have favor on them. And all of a sudden they're having this child, and at this age, okay, God's favored you, but just in a funny way, right? And then we had the last week's Did You Hear? Whereas this young lady who is engaged, all right, who's probably going in this trajectory of life, getting ready for the next stage and excited and just preparing for that, and having this angel come to her and saying, hey, the Messiah, you're going to have a baby, the Messiah, Jesus, you're going to give birth to him. In fact, you're going to be pregnant. Okay. That is a shock to the system. And not only is it a shock to the system, during that time, for that news to get out there would cost her possibly her life because she's not married yet. In fact, she's engaged, and to have a baby, to be pregnant at that time and not married at that time by the law. And so it was a different kind of news that she received. Not necessarily bad news, but life-altering news. One of those ones you're like, this is amazing. I'm glad I get to be a part of that, but what do I do? And I think we've probably been in those situations in our life where we've received some news, maybe that it has transformed us, and the only thing we can say or do in that moment is like, what are we supposed to do? How am I going to get through this? And what I love is she went straight to probably her mentor. She went straight to somebody that was going through the same situation as her, Elizabeth. Again, probably another good reason for Zechariah to be quiet, having two pregnant ladies in his house for 3 months. Good thing to be quiet, right? And they were together. And this morning, we're going to talk about it from the perspective of the shepherds. And the reason that we're going to talk about it from the shepherd's perspective is because I believe this is our perspective. The shepherds, they were working class. They were out doing the job, right? And all of a sudden, they get this news. And let me read it to you. We're going to start Luke 2, 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, which is a common thread when they first introduce an angel. They must be scary looking. That's all I can think, because, you know, everyone that they've keep coming encounter, the first reaction is they're frightened. But this is the thing. And I want to kind of give us an understanding here. When we are in the glory of God, there's a holy fear. And it's not one that is terrifying in the means of like, I'm scared to death. It's more of one of a fear of I should not be in the presence because I do not belong in this presence. It is so good, so righteous. Why does it come to me in this moment? There's a sense of that in these interactions here. So I wanted to explain that a little bit better. Let me find where I'm at. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." Now, I want us to give us some contextual thought processes here. I just would think about, as I'm reading this, being at work. And now, I work at a church. You have a tendency to think, God probably shows up there a lot, right? And probably has these moments, and I shouldn't be in shock when God shows up, right? I want to talk about it from your perspective of where you work. And I want you to know, I have not been a pastor all my life. I've had my moments in other jobs and living out in the world that you live in. And I want you to understand, I understand, I get it. And I don't run from that idea of working out there. And I think we are called to be workers. We are. And in this moment, you have this angel that is sent by God to your job site. Kind of a weird thing, right? And all your buddies are right there in the break room with you, maybe. And all of a sudden, this bright and shining glory of God, of this angel, stands before you and tells you this good news. Life-altering news. And I think we could probably, some of us think in some ways we could use this today, that a Messiah, a Savior, somebody is going to come and redeem us, make our nation right again, going to put us back into power. That Messiah was born today. In fact, you could go find him. That's the good news. And they took it as our next leader, the one that will bring us out of this misery that we find ourselves in. Let me give us some context. Make gas prices lower. Amen. Make inflation go away. Have a perfect, healthy society again, is what they're thinking. Right? Redeeming their society, okay? And so they're excited about this good news. They're probably sitting there going, hey, I wasn't just dreaming right now, right? And they're probably talking with it. You saw that too, right? You saw that angel, and they're probably talking about it and going, you heard the same message I heard, right? That the Messiah was born, and we can find him wrapped in a manger, sleeping. What do you think? And I want to talk about this for a second. I want to talk about how we have received this good news in our life today. That we understand that our Messiah was born, that our Messiah has come, has lived on this earth with us, has been the gift of joy, peace, love, and hope in this world. We understand that gift. In fact, not only do we understand that gift and that good news, we also put trees, we decorate, we have lights, we have traditions, we actually wrap boxes up and put gifts and bows on them, right, to resemble the original gift of this time. I've said it a couple times. We do this stuff in remembrance of this little child that was born, that is our Messiah. And just like communion, when we take the bread and we take of the cup, when we open a gift, what we do is remembering as we open this gift that was freely given to us, that is full of salvation, full of redeeming, full of grace, love, joy, and happiness, and pure joy, right? And it's given to us, and we don't have to do anything for it. It's just given. So we get gifts for people. We receive gifts from others, and we do it in remembrance of this night. All right? So let's rewind back to being in the workforce and hearing this good news, and what do we do with it? What I love is they probably sat and talked for a couple seconds and decided, hey, let's go find this baby. And what you don't see, what you don't, like, the first couple of times that I've read through this, like, you don't kind of really connect with it, but, like, they were tending a flock at that time. They were doing work at that time. It wasn't like they just met them and they were hanging out in a field. They were doing something. What I love is they didn't go and say, hey, let's go find somebody to watch the flock for us. Let's go do, you know, prep before we leave. They just left. They just left. They want, like, the news was that good. They decided, all right, let's go find this Messiah. Let's go find this Savior. Let's go find this one, because that was more important than anything else. What they were doing, and their work was good. It defined who they were. They found their identity in what they were. They were proud to be shepherds. They were. And they just left it. So I tell my board, if God speaks to me and he tells me something and I just leave, it's because of what God has done. I want to leave like he's showing me. Not that I'm leaving the church, but I'm not here working in the office because God showed me something. They don't take that very well. Just kidding. But that excuse probably wouldn't work very well for your job, your boss, right? If you just left in the middle of your job. You might not have a job to come back to. Who knows if they have a flock to come back to? What I love about that is they heard the good news and they weren't worried about today's toils. They weren't worried about how they were going to make it through the day. They weren't worried about those things. They were so overwhelmed by the presence of God showing them through an angel that this news was coming that they wanted to react to it. They wanted to go see this gift. They wanted to go see this baby. They wanted to go see the Savior. So they left everything, and it just, hopefully it's there when they come back. That's amazing to me. Because that's life-altering news. That's life-altering news that will make you move in a way that everything else is put to the side. You see, when we understand the good news of what Jesus done for us, and I'm not just saying at the cross, because it was sacrificial to become human. It was sacrificial to feel our pain, to understand rejection, to grow up as a teenager, to deal with teachers that didn't like him because he was a know-it-all in their eyes. He had to grow up as one of us. And we know that's not easy. He dealt with a friend that stabbed him in the back. He dealt with friends that just quite didn't believe every word that he was saying, that would get in his way sometimes. He dealt with people that were always trying to test him and trip him up. You ever feel that way? You see, the gift is that he became one of us. So we have a creator that understands where we come from. Understands our hurts, understands this world that we live in. That's a God that intensely loves you. That's a God that is involved in your life more than you can ever believe. That's good news. That's good news that makes you stop and question and forget everything around you and go, okay, yes, God, where do you want me to go? And he told him, hey, go find this baby wrapped in a manger and tell him of the good news in which I've told you. And I love that we are the shepherds, right, in this story. I really feel that. We are the shepherds. And not only that are we to go to find this Messiah and be a part of it, but we are to share that, hey, this Messiah, he's our Savior. We have a role. You have a role. Do you know that? That not only do we receive the good news and it changes who we are, but we have a voice for the good news. It transforms us in a way that we cannot hold that good news in. We should be the teleprompter of all the news that comes out of God. Everything that he's typing should be upon our lives and just vocalized in every which way we can. Do you understand that? When we have unwrapped that gift and understand that Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, has taken on all our sins upon the cross, defeated the grave, lives today, and calls me to live with him, for him, to be the voice of him. That voice is one of good news. And we cannot hold it in. Wherever we're at. And you know what? I believe this. And I think it's more often than not. We have those moments with God where he goes, hey, this is when. This is the now. I need you to speak. I need you to show. I need you to be the love. I need you to be the joy. I need you to be the hope. Because right now you are surrounded by people that don't have joy. You are surrounded by people that don't have hope. You are surrounded by people that don't have love or peace. And I have given you those gifts not to hoard, but to share freely. Shepherds, when we hear the good news, it cannot just stay contained. It doesn't just reside within this building. It is not just ours to hold on to. It is ours to give. It is ours to receive and to freely give at any moment that God calls us to give. Even in those moments that are the toughest to give. Even in those moments that we can't stand the people around us that don't deserve the love, that don't deserve the hope, that don't deserve the peace and joy. But in the reality of it all, with God, all deserve His love. Because all have been created in His image. So the shepherds went and they found this little baby. And they told of the story of their encounter with the angel. And all those who are around in this moment, and I just have this scene that it's more than just Mary and Joseph. It's more, it's just, they're celebrating with others in this moment because they say it's not just Mary and Joseph there. There's, all these people are there in this moment of celebrating this baby, and they tell of this moment of where they had this encounter with God and this angel, and they're telling them, hey, this little child, he told us he's the Messiah. This angel said we would find a baby wrapped in a manger. Here he is. And it's not just one shepherd. It's not just two. It's multiple shepherds probably. And they're all coming with this story. Yeah, I saw it too. I saw it too. I can't believe it. I saw it. I have asked my friend over here, did you see the whole trip over here? You remember what he had to say? They probably just kept rehashing it and a broken record of this amazing encounter with God. And then all of a sudden they find Messiah and they're like, this is the Messiah. And what I love about this story too is they all heard it. They all were like, okay, that's an amazing story. Mary took it and was like, okay. Whew. I've got a big responsibility here. I have to be the mother to the Messiah. She took that in, and it changed her. It made her different. Even though she already had an encounter, this is a moment, too, that goes, okay, this is just confirming what I'm doing here, and I have a major role in this, and I better not mess up, and it is only going to be by the grace of God that I don't. I want you to know today, guess what? The same goes for you. God has called you personally. God has put upon you, and you, I'm not saying you're going to be pregnant. That's not what I'm saying. I hope not. I'm never coming back here again, right? It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is God is putting the good news of His story in you. And He has created you in a way that is going to be special for the people around you to hear that good news. And He needs you. And you have a responsibility with that gift. You see, when we hear and understand the good news that has been laid upon us, and let me reiterate what that good news is. Jesus came. He lived His life for us. He died on a cross for our sins. He defeated death so we don't have to be bound by death anymore and being freed from sin. That's the gift that has been given to you. That's the good news that you have received. And once we believe that, and let me say, believe is more than just taking the words in and going, yeah, I believe that. Because I think the shepherds could have heard the story from the angel and been like, that's great news, all right. Where's that sheep? And gone right back to work. And then like, hey, going to the service, that pastor, that priest that I'm going to hear next Sunday, he's not going to be anything that I just heard today. He's got to step up his game. It changed those shepherds. It made them realize they are part of the story. It made them realize the things that were distractions, the work that they had in that moment didn't matter anything in that moment anymore. What mattered was the good news that they had received, and they wanted to go and live that good news out. Now, I'm not telling you to go quit your job, but what I'm telling you is the good news resides where you work, where you live, where you breathe, where you sleep. The good news resides and is waiting for you to share it. Maybe somebody in your home needs to hear the good news, needs to see it lived out of you, needs to see it heard from your lips, needs to see that gift given to you that brings peace, joy, and love, and hope in their world. And you hold on to it. Maybe you feel like you're not the one to be able to give that gift. These shepherds were not the most educated in how to be verbal, not to share the doctrine with people. You know what they were? They had the news, and they had to live it out. So what did they do after they saw Jesus? They didn't just walk away and go, well, that was a cool event. I'm glad I got to be a part of that. That was, right? I think about this in terms of successful Christmas buying. If my kids are still playing with the gifts, like after an hour or two, I think I did an all right job. If I've seen them play with the stuff like a week later, I'm thinking, all right, I'm the king of Christmas. Buying, that is, right? But if I see that they open it up and are like, thanks, never have touched it again, I know I didn't do a very good job, right? I think for us to understand that idea of what it means for us, these shepherds could have taken that news and be like, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that I had that encounter with that angel. And all right, so let's go find the sheep again, right? Which I think a lot of us do when it comes to receiving Jesus Christ as the good news. It may have been a life-altering moment, but it wasn't a lifelong moment. Do you understand? Because when we receive the news, we understand in this moment, it is life-altering to a point that from now on, the one that is in control, the one that has my attention, the one that has my call, the one that if he calls upon me, I will say yes, and I will follow, and I will do, and I will be. It doesn't mean that life will be perfect. What it means is life is perfect in him. Okay? And he will send me to places that are uncomfortable to share the good news. But it only is going to happen if he has my full attention. See, this news is life-altering. And what I love about the shepherds is when they saw Jesus and they saw him wrapped in a manger and they told the story to Mary and all those that are around in that moment, they left there. And they could not help but probably, they were praising God and glorifying him everywhere they went. Everywhere they went. They went to the supermarket. Hey, I want you to know, I saw the Messiah. This little baby, he's going to bring us out of what we are, and he's going to give us a new way of life. I saw him. I know the good news that resides. They couldn't help it. Everybody, they were probably people going, okay, I don't want to, Fred's gone off his rocker, all right? I don't want to, he keeps talking about this little kid. The reality is this, too. Man, you should want people to be annoyed by how much that God has changed your life. And you can't help but share it. You can't help but change it. Like, yeah, man, I'm coming here. Yeah, this work is not fun, but I have a joy in me is not from this work, but is from my Savior, and I am happy that I get to be here this morning because of what God has done in me. I don't find my joy in this work. I don't find my joy in where I stand in this society. I might be the richest person, but if I don't have Jesus Christ residing in me, I don't understand joy. I don't understand security. I don't understand love. I don't understand hope until you have Jesus residing here. He is the provider of all those. He is the good news. And so when we give gifts, this is what I hope. And we're unwrapping gifts in the next day or two and weeks, right? For how many gift, like how many times we get to do Christmas. My hope is this. As a parent, that my kids understand that when they unwrap this, no matter what age, that I remind them the original gift is Jesus. That he is the good news. And we do this in remembrance of that. My hope, too, is if I've really unwrapped that gift and received that within my heart, my interactions with everybody around sees that gift and hears that good news. That I can't help be glorifying God and praising him in every situation I find myself. In every complication, every joyful moment that people are around me, and you know, okay, there's that crazy nut again. He's going to talk about God and how he's transformed him, or he's going to show me grace, and I don't want him to forgive me. I want him to be mad at me, or he's going to be kind to me, and I can't handle his kindness today. Like the scripture's crazy. He tells people to kill people with kindness and love and put it on. If you have an enemy, do you know what you're supposed to do with that enemy? Love them so much that it's like coals burning on their head. That's fun. This is the good news. We celebrate this time because he is our Messiah. And he did not come to redeem our society. He came to redeem our souls. Do you hear that? And maybe this morning you need that. Maybe you need your soul redeemed. Maybe you need to hear the good news that you are loved, you are forgiven, that you are redeemed today. And it only takes you to say yes to it, to receive that gift, to open that gift up, to embrace that gift and accept it. That's it. That's the most amazing thing about this process, that you don't have to join a club, you don't have to even join this church, you don't have to join anything. Guess what? You just have to say yes to him. That's it. Believe that he is the Son of God, that he has redeemed you, and he died on a cross for your sins. That is the good news. This morning, tomorrow, if you're opening gifts, this take a moment maybe before all the gifts are given. Pray about it. Maybe even be terrified of being in his glory. Because he loves you personally so much that he wants to show up and show you peace, joy, hope, and love through his son. And that as you open gifts, may every gift remind you of the good news of Jesus Christ this season. We do it in remembrance of that. Stand with me, church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we celebrate you this morning. I pray as shepherds this morning, wherever we're at, whether it's school, home, work, that we are overwhelmed by the good news that you have. I pray that we receive that good news today. That we cannot be contained. That just like the shepherds, everywhere we go, we want to glorify your name and praise you. That your news, your gift is life transformation. It's one of peace, one of joy, one of hope, and one of love. May we find salvation in your name. May we take a hold of that gift and share it with others. We give you praise today. May we celebrate it with family and friends. May we draw closer to you. May we accept your love today. May we find hope and joy in you. May we feel your peace. We do all this in your name. Amen. Merry Christmas, church.